Christ. Amen. It's good to be back here with you again after our vacation this year. It's hard for a pastor to be away from his congregation, but it's also helpful for many reasons, one of which is that it allows a pastor to experience again a little bit, for a little while, the life of a layman. To go from the pulpit back to the pew, as it were. To remember the challenges that you face right here, for example, at the divine service. The challenge to pay attention when you're not the one doing the preaching or leading the prayers or the singing. It's hard, isn't it? Harder for you, I think, than for me. It also helps to remember the challenge that you face every day, to focus on Christ and His kingdom and your part in the church when you've got so many non-church related things to focus on in your life. How easy it is for the devil to lure people away from the practice of the Christian faith, not by an open denial of Jesus, but by a steady immersion in worldliness that takes your eyes away from the cross and from your vocation as a Christian, which should be affecting all your other vocations as well. We have before us today in our gospel a text on the two overarching vocations of all Christians within the estate of the church: hearers of the word and preachers of the word. The focus of the gospel is on the vocation of preacher. From now on, Jesus said to Simon and to his three companions with him, "From now on, you will catch men." Those words weren't spoken to all the hearers on the shore that Jesus had preached to. They're not spoken to all people or to all Christians. They were spoken to the four men who, at the end of our gospel, left or forsook all and followed Jesus, not just to learn from him on an ongoing basis, but to become preachers of the word, ministers within his church. It's spoken to all who are called by Jesus through the church into the office of the ministry. But we're not going to overlook the other vocation that shows up in our gospel in the first part, that of hearer. Before Jesus calls the disciples to forsake all and follow him in preparing for their future ministry, he approaches them first in their non-clergy vocation, that of fishermen. And he uses them there too to spread the nets of his kingdom. So we see both vocations being used by Jesus in our gospel, that of clergy and that of non-clergy, all to fulfill his own purposes, all for the building of his kingdom. Even now, Christ reigns at the right hand of God, building his kingdom through the word and employing all godly vocations to see to it that his word gets preached so that sinners may be saved. In that sense, not every fisherman is a fisher of men, but every boat can become a pulpit, every vocation an opportunity. Now, every Christian has received a general calling or vocation to follow Jesus, which includes four things especially: to repent of our sins, to trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins, to lead a pious, godly life according to His Word, and, as St. Peter said in today's epistle, to his hearers or readers, the laymen, to always be ready to give a defense or a confession of the Christian faith, a defense of the hope that is in you to the one who asks.
repentance, faith, piety, and confession. To those four things, every Christian has been called. Every day of a Christian's life is to be consumed in those four things, even in the midst of all those other vocations that we have. But let's see how the Lord Jesus used vocation for his kingdom in today's gospel. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had already received a general calling from Jesus to follow him sometime before the events in our gospel. Those events are recorded in John's gospel. They had accompanied Jesus for a time after Jesus' baptism, learning from him about repentance, faith, piety, and confession. But they hadn't yet been called by him to leave their regular vocation, that of secular fishermen, to enter the holy ministry. So they still worked as fishermen, manning their fishing boats, letting down their nets for a catch. Jesus came walking down to their office, as it were, to the banks of Sea of Galilee or the Lake Gennesaret. He wanted to preach to the people who were gathered around to hear him, but they were all crowding together so that he could only really see the people who were right in front of him and not get the word out to those who were in the back. So he stepped into Peter's boat, Simon's boat, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore so that he could speak to all the people at once, the word of God. And so he did, and Peter's boat became Jesus' pulpit, enabling him to see the crowds and speak the word to everyone. Now, Luke doesn't record the sermon or the specific word of God that Jesus preached to the people there that day from his floating pulpit. But you can be sure it was like the rest of his preaching, focusing on repentance, faith, piety, and confession. On repentance, God's holy law requires love for God above all things. And to love God is to keep his commandments, not to just have some feeling of love for God in your heart. To obey is to love God. To disobey is to hate God. And no one wants to think of it that way. No one wants to think that I'm actually hating God right now as I'm knowingly disobeying this or that commandment. But that's what's actually going on. And there's no excuse for disobedience. There's no leniency in the law. Obey or die, says the law. And since everyone has disobeyed, since everyone has sinned, the Lord Jesus calls sinners to repentance, to recognize that they have disobeyed, to admit that they were wrong to do it, and that they surely deserve to die. Some needed to hear about repentance more than others in Israel, as it is also today, those who were secure in their sins, imagining that they were safe from God's wrath. Others knew their sin all too well, but didn't think there was any hope. To them, Jesus preached on faith. That is, he preached on God's promise to forgive them their sins freely, for his sake, through faith in him, God's only begotten Son. Because he bore the sins of the world, and he would suffer for them on the cross, making atonement for all sin and reconciling sinners to God. He called on sinners to trust in God's promise, to forgive them freely for his sake, and also in all of God's promises that sustain us throughout this earthly life. Jesus also regularly preached on piety, the devout and dutiful obedience of God's forgiven children. Piety includes regularly using the ministry of God's word too, that interaction between hearers and preachers, to use the word of God and the sacraments, to read and ponder his word. That's a part of piety. Prayer, and dutifully keeping all of God's commandments, not to earn a place in heaven, but as saints who are learning to live as saints, learning to be imitators of our dear Father and of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus regularly preached on confession. "Whoever confesses me before men," he said, "him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Confession means speaking the truth about God and professing your faith, your allegiance to God and in God. It means answering questions about God. And it means inviting others to know this God whom you confess. Now, whichever of these four areas received the emphasis of Jesus preaching from Peter's boat, the crowds, including Peter, Andrew, James, and John, heard God's word that day because Jesus chose to use Simon's boat as his pulpit, and Simon gladly provided it. But the Lord wasn't done teaching when he dismissed the crowds. It was time for these four disciples to move on to that other vocation that Jesus intended for them, away from letting down the nets of a fishing boat to catch fish and toward the letting down of the gospel net to catch people for Christ's kingdom. He told Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Peter's training as a fisherman and his experience the night before told him it would all be worthless. It'll never work. "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And immediately, so many fish were caught that both boats began to sink. Now, Peter knew this was the almighty power of God at work. And so he fell down on his knees before Jesus. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But Jesus spoke to him in peace. "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." Jesus appointed Peter, Andrew, James, and John, sinners, all of them, into the holy ministry, calling them to preach the gospel. And the implication is that it would be not their power at work, because they toiled all night and caught nothing, but it would be the power of the Lord Jesus through their preaching that would draw people into his kingdom. The minister who preaches the gospel faithfully isn't responsible either for the lack of people in the church or for the abundance of people in the church. His task is simply to let down the net. The catch is all the work of Christ and of his Holy Spirit. And we are to trust that he knows what he's doing, even if it doesn't make sense to us. So Jesus used the secular vocation of these fishermen not only to preach to the crowds, but also to teach a lesson to these future fishers of men about the ministry. They cannot accomplish anything on their own, but Jesus will accompany them, lead them, work through them, and bring in people whom he has chosen through their preaching. Now, if I were preaching to men with the vocation of preacher this morning, I would probably talk more about the office of the ministry. But since I'm not, let me emphasize once again the importance of the vocation of hearer in the work of the kingdom. Your vocation, your calling to hear God's word, to use and to support the ministry of the word, is your primary calling. After that, it all comes back to those four basic parts of the practice of the Christian religion: repentance, faith, piety, and confession. Preachers must practice those four things in their vocation as preachers. Those with the vocation of hearers must do the same. Daily repentance and a living faith, piety and a zealous confession of the faith seem far removed from all the tasks that you have on a daily basis, but don't let them be. Let them be a part of everything you do, of every aspect of your secular vocations. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, teachers, students, homemakers, retired persons, firemen, military personnel, citizens, neighbors, patriots. In all these vocations, open your eyes to the opportunity God sets before you to put your Christian faith into practice with repentance, faith, piety, and confession. See your vocation as a potential pulpit, not for you to become a preacher, but for Jesus to take this opportunity to put someone in contact with His Word, with the church of which you are a part, which is now being preached, not by the mouth of Jesus, but by the mouths of those whom He has called into the office of the Holy Ministry. Invite, explain, answer. Speak of the Lord Jesus, who has loved you, who has revealed the truth about sin and about God, who lived, died, and rose from the dead, that all people might be saved. In this way, preachers and hearers, shepherds and their flocks, work together for the kingdom of God. In this way and in no other, the Lord Jesus will build His church and expand His kingdom in the world. Let us give thanks that we have all been given a part in it. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.